If you like weird history, true crime, haunted and paranormal, then pause the podcast you're listening to right now and subscribe to Ghost Town wherever you listen to podcasts. We also have a video component to our favorite Ghost Town episodes at youtube.com/Jason Horton. Episodes like The Los Feliz Murder House, The Toxic Lady, The Black Dahlia, Janis Joplin's Hotel Room, The Haunted Roosevelt Hotel, and more. Just go to youtube.com/Jason Horton. That's youtube.com/JasonHorton. And while you're there, please subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Thank you.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Nice shirt. Also, do you like podcasts?
Sure you do, which is why you should listen to Ghost Town, our comedy podcast about the abandoned, mysterious, haunted, and unexplored.
From the Berlin Wall to the Los Feliz Murder House to the room that Janis Joplin died in, we'll be there.
If it's cool with our lawyers.
We have lawyers?
Go with it.
Wherever it is, we're going to hash it out and, I don't know, probably solve it.
And we have mugs.
We have mugs?
Go with it.
Ghost Town, a podcast about mysterious, abandoned, unexplored places.
Subscribe to Ghost Town on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcasting app.
It's the Friends Without Benefits podcast. My name is Jason Horton. Welcome to the show. Today, my guest is Dixie Perkinson. She is an actor and a writer. You may have seen her on TV shows such as Speechless and Wilfred, and one of many, 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 many commercials. She's very humble about her success, but I find her to be very successful. She's definitely been in a lot of commercials and some TV. So part of what we're going to discuss is kind of her and you know, her career. And then another part of it is going to be a bit heavier. It's going to kind of discuss her family, which and her life a little bit. And she goes into way more detail on her blog, eatmyprune.com. So definitely check that out, eatmyprune.com. Just saying it twice, just so you know that's what it is. But it's, I don't read many personal blogs, I probably will not continue to, but her personal blog is, it's captivating. It's, when the blog entry is over, I'm like, I want the rest of the story. So we discuss a lot of the things she talks about on, you know, that she puts out there online or on her blog, like the murder of her mother and the relationship with her father. It's one of those things where these are the kind of things that people write fiction about, or somebody else might do, say, a podcast about her and the experiences she's had. But if for her, it's super real, and her writing is really great, and she both experiences it and can convey it in a very authentic way. So definitely check out her blog, eatmyprune.com, as she does many storytelling shows and live performances, sometimes discussing that. You may have heard in the cold open, I guess is what it would be, the new promo for my other podcast with my co-host Rebecca Lieb called Ghost Town. And that is a podcast about places that are haunted, abandoned, mysterious. And check it out. I mean, I know you know that's what I'm going to ask you to do, right? Check it out. It's on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast. It's been pretty exciting. It's been on the top charts lately, on and off on comedy, which is really interesting. Actually, Friends Without Benefits is still new and noteworthy, also on Apple Podcasts. So it's definitely not new. Is it noteworthy? Debatable. I don't know. I guess it depends. I'm going to say it's definitely a podcast. It's definitely a podcast. That's exactly what it is. But we're really excited for 2019. Oh, you know, we're talking about, there's discussion of going on tour with it. And what would that look like? That's what we're talking about right now with some people. We have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/ghosttownpod, where we have two bonus episodes a month. And if you want to be mentioned and maybe a little something, a little website or something for you on the show, we have that tier as well. So check that out. Not so fun fact. I've been in California 14 years, and this Christmas and one other Christmas are the only two that I have not gone back to New York / New Jersey to see family. I think last year was rough. I got really ill. I don't know if it was food poisoning or really bad flu, but I was out of commission for days. And it's just, you know, it's just a lot of shuffling around. Everyone's busy, even though I really, really love it. And I want to actually be there, but I don't know. I mean, I know I'm getting old and tired, and it's hard to shuffle around that much. And after only getting back from Europe a few weeks ago, I'm just not ready to do it. So my wife and I, we're going to Las Vegas. I'm going to do a Las Vegas Christmas. I don't know what that is like. I don't know if they're Christmas-themed slot machines. Well, if there are, my wife, she'll find them. And we're going to do Christmas there. I don't know what that is going to be like, but I'll let you know. Also going to let you know about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission free. I've mentioned this before. It's one of my favorite. When I think about like how many apps I check on my phone, like what order I do them, Robinhood lately has been at the top. It's just, it's very exciting. It's very concise. It's very user-friendly. And there's no cost, no commission fees, which is something I like a lot. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge a commission fee. You can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. You learn by doing. This is what I'm learning along the way, which I really like, and they make it very, very easy. You can learn how to invest to build your portfolio, discover new stocks, and trade favorite companies with personalized news feeds, custom notifications for price movements, so you never miss the right moment to invest. Hey, and they're giving away a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Just sign up at friends.robinhood.com. That's friends.robinhood.com. All right, let's get into my conversation with Dixie Perkinson. So I asked for your social security number. I didn't get it, so we're off to a bad start, I guess, right?
Yeah,
but we'll...
I'll save that. I'm saving that for my book.
Oh, you save that for your book? Yeah. You gotta make people pay for that. I was thinking, I guess we know each other broadly through comedy, like IO West.
Yeah, through improv. Not really that well.
No.
We've never performed together. No. Actually, I don't even know how it started.
Yeah, and we did do a video together,
mm-hmm.
like a kind of a faux indie mm-hmm. about giving our stuff back,
yeah.
About getting our stuff back. Mm-hmm. And then, but I do remember us talking about improv. And I remember I was like, oh, you're still, I was probably like still deep into it. And you're like, you know, I think you were like, you know, I just got tired of either doing or seeing bad improv.
Yeah.
I remember you saying something like that. And I was like, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Have you ever gone back? Did you ever go back?
I've dabbled.
Yeah.
I've dabbled. But yeah, I just get burnt out because I feel like it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and to half-ass something just doesn't, then I feel like I'm a bad improviser.
And you already have the skill that you're pulling from that for your auditions or whatever.
No, I'm already, it's just like having fun with friends and stuff. But it's so time consuming. And then you do shows that are like at 11 o'clock at the clubhouse. And it's like, why?
Yeah.
Why?
Beg people to go to things.
Oh, my God. And it's all, I don't want people to go because I know it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Like, I never like want people to see my shows.
Yeah.
That's awful. That's torture.
But it's kind of the opposite for your career as an actor. You want people to watch the stuff that you do.
Yeah. Well, now I'm like, if now I do like certain like storytelling shows yeah. that I know will be good because yeah. there's like it's a good lineup.
Yeah.
But if it's just an improv night,
no,
nah,
yeah.
I kind of hate him, you know.
I still love it, but I feel like I got a lot out of it, although I could have diverted some of the time to do some other things. And I wouldn't have been any worse of an improviser.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I hit a point where I was like, this is about as good as I am. And unless I'm playing with the perfect people, it's not like I'm going to get much better for the amount of time I'm willing to put into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of felt the same. I'm like, I'm not getting... Oh, well, I just got rejected too much.
Yeah.
And then I felt bad because I didn't go over to UCB when everybody else did.
Yeah.
Because didn't you go to IO before UCB?
I started IO in 2006, but I did UCB from 2007 to 2011.
Okay.
So I did them both for a bit, yeah.
I don't know. Then I'm like, Mom, I would take classes with just people that I was either on a team with or just like these young guys.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, that's it for that. We closed the book on that. Now we were talking. I wanted to just save this information. I think so. You are a LA native.
No.
But you've lived in Los Angeles for a long time.
I'm from New Orleans, but my dad.
That's right. Okay, I do know. Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's from LA.
Okay.
And my mother was from New Orleans.
Okay. So you have LA roots.
Yeah, like I would come out here every summer and Christmas, and yeah, I've been here for 14 years. And I love, you know, I hated New Orleans.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've gone. Have you been?
I'm going to New Orleans for the first time in April for a wedding. But I know it has a history of kind of, corruption in the political system of New Orleans. That's just something that I don't know how, you know what I mean, how true that is.
Also, I was thinking about the ghosts and stuff.
Yeah, oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a huge, it's a lot of... superstition and ghosts. Mm-hmm. So I'm very excited about that, but I've never been. So what's it like to grow up in New Orleans?
Well, in my neighborhood, we elected David Duke, who was head of KKK.
Yeah.
We had David Duke signs. And we did elect him.
Yeah.
He got into Congress.
Yeah. Because of the people of...
Well, not... I'm from like Old Metairie, which is right outside New Orleans.
Okay.
It's where... all the like rich white people live that are racist.
Yeah.
But they're kind people. Not all of them are.
Yeah.
Oh my God. If you're, you know, if you're from New Orleans, you're an alcoholic. You just drink so much.
Did you go to Mardi Gras a lot? I've never, I've obviously never done that. I've been there, but did you ever do Mardi Gras? Was that?
Yeah. Well, me, Mardi Gras, yeah. I mean, I went to parades and stuff, but sometimes my aunt would fly me out here and, like, I would go skiing at Mammoth instead of
being
trampled over.
Yeah, and getting, giving or getting beads or whatever. I don't know. I don't know that much about it.
Yeah. No, it's fun. It's a good, New Orleans is a good place to visit, but... also all personal stuff, baggage.
Sure, of course.
Some people love New Orleans.
Yeah. Your New Orleans is going to be different than somebody else's.
Oh,
New Orleans.
My God. Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
I'm assuming, right? Hopefully you want it to be goodwill towards others. So what was the, because, you had roots out here. What was the thing that happened that said, all right, I'm going to leave New Orleans and go to Los Angeles?
Well, I went to, I was ready to leave New Orleans just because I didn't like it and it was very dark and depressing and nobody was, New Orleans is like the Big Easy. It's just like nobody does anything with their lives. You know, it's so hot and humid. You just drink and get high. It's the opposite of LA where everybody's so career driven, you know? I went to a school in Chicago. And then I got kicked out of college. Because I sucked.
Yeah.
They had a cut system.
Okay.
I went to DePaul.
Oh, that's a good one, right? When I heard, I don't know. I dropped out of community college like five times.
Yeah.
So, but I've heard of DePaul, and I'm like, oh, that sounds...
Yeah, it's okay, but they have a cut system, so I didn't make it after the second cut.
Was it based on you doing your absolute best and not doing it, or were you just, you knew you weren't even kind of...
No, I thought I was good. And actually, out of everyone that graduated, I'm like one of the only actors. Like, they're all yoga teachers,
yeah.
Like, None of them.
Listen, you need yoga teachers. Or you can have people willy-nilly just downward dogging.
Yeah, I was devastated because I'm like, oh wow, I really suck because people that I thought did suck, they got accepted back. So I'm like, oh.
It was a theater program?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was an acting conservatory. And so my credits were like movement with music, voice and speech. Those like classes do not transfer over.
Yeah.
So my aunt was like, why don't you move here? You could live in our guest house. And they had another house. And go back to school and, you know, graduate. And just so I have a backup plan, you know. Like, she kind of wanted me to be a substitute teacher instead of being a waiter.
I feel like those are actor adjacent
jobs. Yeah. But then I took one class in biology and
at a different college?
No, at LACC.
LACC. I took just to take a break from the commercial auditions and improv. It was just so like, I was like, let me just do something, use my brain different. When I went to LACC and took, I got like an A minus and like a B or something like that. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but it just wasn't me. And then that's when I was at IO and I was dating this guy who was just like, you could just do commercials if you want. And he was just living the life, you know, like.
Was he successful in, was he one of those improv successful comedians?
Okay. Yeah. And so he just would wake up at noon and like not do anything. I mean, he was like suicidally depressed.
Sure.
At least he was on like a Herald team.
It's like you want, like I remember wanting that so bad. And once I thought it was very cool, but it's like it's that void that just never gets you. I want this. Oh, you got it. No, now the void's not filled. Oh, no, I want that now or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But I just thought it was the coolest thing. I'm like, okay, I want to do commercials. And I want to do improv and I want to, you know, perform stand up at a
laundromat. Before that point, you weren't somebody who's like, oh, I really want to be a commercial actor or an actor in general. Like,
no, I wanted to be like on a sitcom. Yeah. I wanted to be famous.
Yeah.
You know?
Who says you're not already famous? I think you're famous. I mean, I don't know.
But back then, I'm not famous now, but back then.
Yeah.
So
listen, if you're on the Friends Without Benefits podcast, you have to be famous and or available.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only two criteria.
Or available?
Available to do the podcast.
Oh yes,
yeah.
Open schedule. Yeah. Well, I'm unemployed at the moment. It's 2:00 on a Friday.
I'm here too. So no judgment. Mm-hmm. I'm also here.
Yeah.
Would have mentioned this at the beginning. I remember saying. I was like, you look like somebody. If somebody pointed to you and was like, she's a successful actor, I'd be like, she looks like a successful actor. I don't know what it is. And I don't say that about, there's just certain people when I see them, I was like, person looks like a successful actor.
See, I don't see myself at all.
I see you exactly as that.
I don't come across as an actor. I don't look like, I'm not like skinny, blonde, and beautiful. You know what I mean? Like, I'm.
But that's not what maybe because I don't watch a lot of, you know what I mean? Like, I don't, or surround myself with a lot of things that includes that. But even your name is like, it's like a cool name, you know? I don't know.
Thank you.
Well, it is. I mean, it is a cool, you know.
It's a southern name. It's a stripper's name, let's face it.
Well, yeah, but one that has a couple of credits from LACC. Hello. It's elevated.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't mind that it's a stripper's name.
Yeah.
But I don't, you know.
Yeah. Well, if you had like three X's in it, that would be.
No, but Dixie is like, just when I just remember watching Jerry Springer and there'd be too many Dixies.
Yeah.
It's like a fake name.
My thing is, was Whistling Dixie. Like, I'm not Whistling Dixie. You know that saying?
Yeah.
It's like, just saying this for my health or making this up, I think, is Whistling. I'm not lying or something.
Oh, okay. Actually, I've never heard that before.
And then, maybe I'm saying that right. I'm also old. the store Winn-Dixie, which is the supermarket, like popular in the South. So that's my two things.
Where are you from?
I'm from New Jersey.
Okay.
Originally, yeah. And New York, I guess. You know, I have grandparents that lived in Florida.
All right.
Very typical.
Yeah.
That's the entomology of Dixie for me at this point. But I would say you're somebody that is, but you are successful in what you're doing.
it doesn't feel that way, but yeah, like I do a lot of commercials. Like, I've done over 60.
Oh, I'm sorry. Only 60? Oh, yeah. I thought I have 100 commercial minimum. But you know I've gone on so many commercial auditions. I've booked a few, but you know the process. You go to Santa Monica.
Yeah.
And then call back, maybe Avail. Maybe you do it, and then it doesn't air, or there's so many ways it can go wrong to even get to the thing. Not for you.
Well, yeah, but I've been here forever. Yeah. But no, I think because I dated this guy who did commercials, and he kind of mentored me.
Okay.
Into doing it.
So you got some out of the relationship.
Oh, yeah, I did.
That's
I mean, it was unhealthy.
Right.
It was toxic.
Yeah.
But I learned a few things about commercials.
Did you do any formal training as an actor? Did you do that?
Well, I went to Performing Arts High School in New Orleans, okay. And then I went to DePaul, and I got kicked out.
Right.
And then I went to IO. And then after IO, I studied at the Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Okay. Just some serious.
Serious.
Did you like that?
I did. Well, it was like anything. It was like a cult.
Yeah.
But so is improv.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know? And I felt like I belonged in that cult.
Yeah. It was a good cult.
It was a good cult.
Yeah.
Well, at the end, it wasn't.
Of course not. Yeah. That's why it's the end, right? So what are your kind of aspirations? Because you're doing – a lot of people just kind of, I feel like, poo-poo. I only poo-poo them because they're just – the work is not for me because I don't really care that much. But, some people are like, oh, it's just a commercial. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a whatever, a co-star, guest star, whatever. What was your, like, when you were you're doing the book commercials, are you happy just to be working and making the money, but you're not satisfied?
Yeah, well, you make way more money in commercials than you do in co-star, guest star. Yeah. So, you know, with a commercial, you get 10 to 30 grand.
Yeah.
At co-star, guest star, you get 3 to 5 grand.
Yeah.
So.
Or the day thing's only like 900 or something.
Yeah, it's not like the money's in commercials.
Yeah.
And I have to make my insurance, you know.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I work with really cool, like, directors. And everyone does commercials.
Yeah.
You know, you look around and you're like, oh, that guy was on a sitcom. Now he's doing commercials because you have to make money.
Yeah. I mean, I was just in Europe. But you see, I mean, the huge stars. Julia Roberts, Brad Pitt, who you name it, they're in some kind of commercial for something. You might not see it here in the U.S., and it's probably why they're doing it. You know, it's being shown in, you know, Prague or whatever. But, it's kind of a universal thing.
It is. But no, but sometimes it's depressing, like, commercials. Either I feel I'm like, oh, this is so great. Only I can do this because I need my comedic talent. Other times I'm like, I'm in the way of the product. You know, and they're, like, kind of mean to me.
Yeah.
You know, they don't really respect commercial actors, and then I don't feel good. So it's always a hit or miss, whether I'm like, oh, I'm a comedic genius, or, oh, God, I'm just a body.
Yeah, like, I can sell any product. I don't care what it is. I'm so dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Would you say, are there commercials that, like, are the ones that are the most... What are the ones that were, like, the biggest for you, just for context?
The biggest would be, like, this Toyota commercial I did. I worked with Jared Hess. He, you know, wrote and directed Napoleon Dynamite and Nacho Libre. Am I saying that right?
I think so.
And that was just it was just amazing to work with him. And I felt really funny. That was a good one. And what else? Oh, again, I don't know how to pronounce people's names. Is it Farley Brothers or Farley Brothers?
Oh, Farley?
Farley Brothers.
I think so. I'm just trying to,
Yeah, I just...
Farley? No, Farley.
I've always said Farley Brothers.
No, that... I mean, I'm nobody, but that sounds wrong.
Farley?
Yeah. Farrelly?
It's not Farrelly.
It's not Farrelly. It's definitely not Farrelly.
No. Anyway.
Doesn't matter now.
Doesn't matter.
You did it
but
already.
Anyway,
done.
Yes.
Done.
Yeah. I worked with them, and it was just a lot of fun. And yeah, it was like, well, this is a dream come true.
Aren't you thinking like, hey, we're having so much fun here. Wouldn't that be great in a two-hour movie?
For sure. Yeah. For sure. But how come they don't ever cast me?
I have a feeling, like, I feel like you just go in, like, do you ever, like, you have to still have to audition for every commercial? Haven't you, like, done it all, like?
No, you're putting me on a pedestal, and it's not like that at all.
Yeah, but you gotta, just to put in context, so many people audition for commercials, right?
Yeah.
There's a really, like, at the top 10%, I mean, if that's a huge, probably 10%, and there's 90% are, you know, is nothing. It's like a wasteland. Mm-hmm. You're in that, statistically, yeah, maybe you're at the lower end of high, but you're still successful at it to keep doing it. I didn't know if you, like, just, there's some things where you just, like, kind of got booked straight from your tape or something.
No, sometimes I'll go straight to callback.
Okay. I've done that too a couple times. I'm not to be whatever. But yeah. I'm not just a body. I'm the only one that can do it. So. But they decided they wanted to make less money, so they're like, we'll have somebody else do it. I was like, all right, your loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's always their loss.
But you, I think I remember, you know, just following your, you know, whatever things you say on Facebook, that, you know, you just did an episode of Speechless.
Yeah.
Yeah. I auditioned for Speechless and I didn't get it, so I'm not here to promote Speechless, okay? But I will for your, no, it's fine. I'll clean your toilets. But you mentioned that was your first TV role.
No, second. My first one was Wilfred.
In a bit, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. Well, it's, yeah, it, like, took me 8 years.
I'm really surprised.
Me too.
Is it because you were, I mean, from what I remember, getting commercial auditions is more abundant than getting television.
Yeah, right? Like a commercial audition, maybe they'll see 100 people. Yeah. For co-star or guest star, they only see, like, 15.
Yeah.
But no, you know, it's so hard to get a theatrical agent, and I have had a couple agents and they dropped me. I had a manager and she dropped me because she wasn't getting percentage of commercials.
Okay. So.
And I'm like, I don't know. Well, I feel like with co-stars and guest stars, they are just co-stars, like a one-liner. You're not a human being.
Yeah.
You know?
You're just, yeah, here to deliver the
mail. With commercials, they say just do nothing, but you're never not supposed to do nothing. You're supposed to do something. With TV, they say do nothing and literally don't do anything. You're like, oh, here's your coffee. Don't even, you're not even a human.
Yeah.
But
we drive and audition for that. Yeah. And, you know, and hope, please.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, I'm like, hours I have that one line in my head, and, you know, and there's just so much hope. And then
so it's really because you're not getting in the room. It's not, you're not. It's,
no, I'm not getting in the room. Yeah. I'm not getting in the room. It's just, it's crazy how competitive it is. But now I finally have, like, a good manager and I'm able to go out.
Yeah.
Some more.
So that's going to change.
Well, who knows?
What about movies?
Yeah. What about them?
I just assume that you, I just honestly assume that you're just in them.
No, I've never once done a movie. I mean, I do these short films that I've written myself.
Yeah, and you put yourself in it, right? Yeah, yeah. You're like, no, I'm only seeing one, and it's me, and I'm in it.
Yeah. But no, I would love to do a movie. But no, I kind of got, jaded. I'm like, what do I really want to do? Is this, like, my purpose? Yeah. This isn't my purpose.
Are you in an existential crisis right now?
I was. Yeah. I was, for sure. Yeah. I'm like, because I felt like I reached a plateau. I'm like, I'm like, all right, well, I'm doing commercials and I'm making my living doing that. And I kind of given up on acting in a way. Commercials are different than acting. Yeah. And
you really don't have to, like, sharpen that, flex that muscle a lot in between commercials for you, probably, right?
Not really. Yeah. Not, I don't know. Maybe I should, but nah, I don't think so.
Yeah. You can go on autopilot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a huge supporter.
All the time.
Yeah, I'm probably not the best person to ask. I'm like, yeah, I was like, they need you more than you need them.
Yeah.
Until they're like, no, we're good.
Yeah.
It's about a billion people. And
no, they, see. I need them.
Yeah. We need them. We need you, everybody. Are you listening? Whoever you are, if you're somebody who employs, we do need you. Please. Do it. So
your... I don't read... When people post personal blogs on Facebook, mm-hmm. not the first thing I click on, right? Not the first thing most people do. And it doesn't mean they're not good. Everyone's story is interesting. And I love listening to hear stories, and that's why I do this, because I like to hear about people, you know? I just feel like people are more... I don't know. And it doesn't matter what it is. It could be the most... Like, oh, this is such a dumb story. I was like, no, I think this is so interesting because I've never been to blank, and I've never experienced this. And a lot of people that are listening, probably most people listening, is like, I have not experienced this through your lens or whatever. But your personal blog, mm-hmm. eatmyprune.com, is the first plug. you know, it's a... You know, the branding is interesting, I guess. I don't know what that title means.
Yeah.
Is it just what it is?
I don't even know what it is, to be honest with you. Yeah, because I guess I want it to be somewhat sexual, but not not entirely.
Yeah. Well, there's photos of you. I mean, people are going to go right now and we'll listen to this also at the same time. They're going to look you up. There's pictures of you with the pineapple.
Yes.
You know, great pictures. Mm-hmm. It's just very cool. At least to me, I don't know. But
okay.
I don't think anyone would use it. I'm not a tastemaker in what's cool, but I was like, yeah, this all looks cool. And, you know, I started reading them, and we'll get into it as much or as little as you want to, because you're kind of like, people have probably created fictionalized versions of your actual life, like, you know, made fiction stories, but things that are in somewhat in the universe of things that have happened to you directly is what I'm kind of getting, which is very interesting because you just have it very interesting. The things I hear them all as like podcasts. You know what I mean? I feel like your stories would be very interesting, like podcast material.
Yeah.
I mean, you know that.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
I know I'm being very vague right now.
I guess. Wait, what? You think I should do a podcast?
I mean,
But I don't know.
You live in Los Angeles. How can you not have a podcast? Don't they kick you out of the city if you don't have one and you're in the entertainment?
But doesn't the podcast, isn't it a means to something? It's a stepping stone, right?
I don't necessarily.
Or is the podcast the holy grail?
You know, I think a podcast, I think, is a, I've seen so many people, especially in the YouTube world, which, you know, they've gone from the YouTube world and then they're like, you went to podcasting and it's just been way more viable for them. Myself included in a lot of ways. But, you know, me coming from like the improv world and I just like conversation and storytelling, it all kind of made sense to me. Yes, you should definitely do a podcast or write a book or something like that. I'm sure these things are already kind of thinking about. Now, I remember reading eatmyprune.com, and there was a three-part series about your father. Is that right? The timelines of your post, I mean, I'm just not used to looking at them, but I think I remember there's like part one, part two, and a part three.
Yeah.
About your father. I remember being at the end of part three, and I was like, No. I want more of that story, you know? I remember looking, I was like, oh my God. I was like, very, very, and I was like, I don't look at people's personal blogs, you know? Like, I know, like, everyone's heartbroken and this sucks and that sucks, but this is like some deep stuff. And then also, you know, you talk and you've kind of brought up and you do shows based on your mother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is.
She got murdered.
She got murdered, yes. That's not the name of the show or the book. No, so no. Don't ever run out to Amazon and go, I got to look up, she got murdered. You have like press clippings from it. It's just it's a very real thing. Whereas other people are just, where other people are like, I'm doing a podcast based on this real thing that happened, but you're the real thing that happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Which is just a very, it's just a very interesting place to be, I guess. And that's what, you know that.
Yeah.
Is it something that you made a decision to, there's things about in my life that I don't talk about publicly, you know. But then at some point I made a decision to do that. And I'm sure a lot of people are that way. Was there a point where you're like, this is, maybe something I'd like to kind of, you know, discuss or kind of put
out? Well, it's only recent because, like, you, as you know, in the comedy scene, nobody talks about anything personal. You know, it's so
or it's very surface level.
Surface, just doing this.
I had a bad date or,
oh, my,
you know.
God. And, but now, like, I feel like vulnerability is in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So, thank God.
Yeah.
We, like, needed this so much. I know I needed it because I felt so out of place. And I hate things that are surface, you know? Especially in improv.
There you go. your campaign to shut down improv. You know what? I have a theory. Tell me what you think about this theory. Is that things like therapy in general, it could be of the, you know, psychiatrist, psychologist, or therapist. Whereas, I mean, I'm, you know, kind of grew up in, like, as a kid in the 80s. And the idea of, like, therapy was an outrageous quackery luxury, you know, where everything is just like buck up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that is the thing. Sometimes you do need to buck up. And I totally get that. But I think you're taught that it's not cool to need help, you know. It's not cool to need anyone. And the idea of, and then what happens is everyone just bottles everything up. And because it's so taboo to, you know, talk to somebody about your feelings and what you're feeling, and then, you know, you have people that don't know what to do with them, and one way or another, they either act out in some way, or they bottle it all up and just live a secret, miserable life, and their quality of life is less. And I feel like lately, I think it's at least discussed more, or you can get have a therapist on your, you know, chat on your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, the industry is, I don't know how it's grown. It's been very new for me too. And it took me a long time to do it. And I was like, this is awesome. This is so great. And I just wish I had attempted it sooner, but I wish I did sooner. But I'm wondering if that's part of it too, where now it's okay to talk about, you know, my therapist or tragedy or trauma and stuff like that.
I feel like that's I feel like that, in LA it's normal.
Yeah.
But in other areas it's not.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, I you know, came from, like, you know, New Jersey and like outside New York City, like that, where it was like there was no, you know, my mother would probably tell me, maybe not now, but back then she would just be like, you know, take a nap, buck up, whatever that is, because that's, you know, it's a different, you know, that generation is, you know.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, my dad and my brother are probably upset that I'm doing this.
Are they? Okay. Let's start. Okay, so you talk about your mother, who you don't know.
Yeah.
You
never she knew. Got killed when I was 14 months.
14 months.
Mm-hmm.
In L.A. Was it in L.A.?
Yeah, she got killed. And the awful thing is that they found her body at Gelson's. It used to be Mayfair, right by UCB. That's where she was found. Like, I pass it all the time.
And is the information, like, what's, like, the information about it, is there, like, enough for you to be kind of satisfied? I mean, I don't know, like, what that...
Well, actually, I went to a medium not that long ago. Paid $400.
Okay.
So I got some answers.
All right.
And although she was the real deal, and she said that I can heal without knowing all the details and that I'm not going to know. Because I did, I spent my 35th birthday at the police station reading my mother's investigation report.
And first time you've attempted to get that information?
Well, no, only recently. Well, because they don't normally hand out the, like, in-depth investigation reports to people. I mean, they'll maybe give out, like, police reports and stuff, but this was, like, 80 pages. It took me 6 hours to read.
I imagine, yeah.
And I feel like I have enough answers. You know, somebody from that I knew growing up, he wanted to make a documentary.
I mean, yeah. It's,
And he was best friends with my brother growing up, and he knew my dad. And my mother's murder affected him, too. Like, it was just weird. Nobody gets murdered.
I mean, I know, yeah.
You know.
Well, when I lived in I went to high school and went to this town called Newburgh, which I don't know as of what year, but it was, I think, per capita, the highest murder rate in one of the highest murder rates in the country per capita, because, you know, it's a lot of drugs and crack and gang stuff, because people, you know what I mean? It's like, let's, all right, the city's too congested. Let's get out into the, you know, the more of the suburbs. And, you know, my neighbor across the street was murdered. I remember as a kid and that being like, I remember Hatton just walking, ever always looking at the house and like wondering like what was it like for the with the family. I barely knew him. It was, you know, he's like older than me, but I just knew that that happened. And but yeah, it's like a thing where it's like that's not usually something that you can be like, oh yeah, me too. You know, same here. Yeah. Oh yeah.
No, there's such it's like there's such shame attached to it, and yeah, it would be embarrassed. I mean, it's a downer talking and. You know, if I said my mother was murdered, I mean, obviously you're going to feel so uncomfortable. So why bring that up?
Yeah. Are you asking why?
No. I mean, not right now, but back in the day, sure, it was just like, ugh. It was just so uncomfortable for the other person.
Yeah. And it's, you know, you don't want to make other people feel shitty. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's like kind of like a, you know, a life thing.
Yeah.
So is it helpful that you, because I think you're doing a show with other people that have had that happen in their lives, right?
Yeah, not so much murdered but dead parents.
Yeah.
You know, but now we're at the age where people's parents are dying. Yeah. So it's like, no big deal.
Yeah. Is that how you start the show? It's like, hey everybody, parents are dying, no big deal. Are yours alive? Well, not for long. Hey, I'm Dixie, everybody, here's a story. Is that how it goes? Or mm-hmm. I like it. That's good. That's really good. Yeah. Also, I hate improv, so if you're an improviser, please quit. Mm-hmm. Also, you'd talk about the stories about your father are interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did it send a chain reaction because of that happening, or was that always kind of like the path that your father's going to be on?
Well, no, see, I didn't know. Yeah. Like growing up, I didn't think it was strange because that's all I knew. It wasn't until actually I went to college and I got a boyfriend and I started telling him things and he was like, what?
Yeah.
You know? And then my boyfriend out here, who got me into commercials, you know, just his reaction would be like, Dixie, that's not normal. You shouldn't talk to your dad. You know, I didn't know any of that. So it's only a recent thing. But no, my dad, yeah, he's weird. He's, you know, he's alive. He might be listening to this.
Okay. Is that a threat? I don't know. Should I be worried? Let me know. Because I'm not here to like out anyone, but it's
busy. Who knows if he is or not
listening or alive.
Listening, okay. He is definitely alive. Okay. I think he might be, but I had to block him on Facebook.
Okay, he's from LA.
He's from LA.
Just out of curiosity, what was his business in LA?
No, my dad has never once worked a day in his life. He lives off of rich women. And he slept with all my teachers and my friends' mothers, even though they were married. Like, he's a very good-looking, charming guy. And my mother was really rich, and we lived off her inheritance. My dad remarried, and my stepmother gave my dad hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now he lost his, like, good looks. So, but he's still in between women.
I mean, he's the people that you see in movies or hear on other podcasts, yeah, maybe.
I know. I have to listen to... Well, my aunt wants me to watch Dirty John because she's like, that's your dad.
It really sounds like that.
I haven't seen Dirty John yet.
I haven't seen... I just listened to the, you know, which maybe listening to it might be a little, probably a little more clinical than watching a... I don't know if it's, I think it's, not fictionalized, but it's a dramatization, I believe. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds cool. I want to watch it to see how it compares to the podcast. But I mean, your father, I mean, you know, he's from, he's born in Los Angeles.
Yeah, from Los Angeles, he is probably the only person from my family who graduated from college. He graduated from UCLA. Yeah. And he met my mother. My mother went to AFI for editing.
Okay.
And they met at a party. And I think they just got, like, pregnant right away. And they had my brother, who's 6 years older than me. And then, my mother was paying for everything. And then her mother got sick. And they owned a very successful insurance company in New Orleans. So then they flew back to New Orleans. And then they lived there for a little bit. And then, you know, they got murdered.
I remember reading that.
My mother was driving because they were helping her look for a new place. So my mother was driving with her parents in the car. And these two men jumped inside the car. And they brutally stabbed her parents. But they didn't touch her. And so then they jumped out of the car, and then my mother drove to the emergency room, and they were pronounced dead. But, like, and then a couple months after that, she gets pregnant with me. But, like, you just don't recover. And then she started doing heroin, and, you know.
Is the 80s? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It happens in, 80. They got murdered in 82. I was born in 83, and my mother got murdered in 84.
Yeah. Which I imagine, like, you know, when I remember from, like, you know, New York City or crime, crime and drugs. I mean, I don't think crack happened just yet, but it was high crime rates pretty much, you know, all around.
Yeah.
And I don't know how they compare to now, but I can just imagine that it's, you know, I don't know what LA was like then.
Well, that's why it kind of. It was really, you know, it wasn't a lot of newspaper articles because my mother died in Los Angeles, and that's when, like, the 84, that's when, like, we had the Olympics here.
Yeah.
And so it was just, like, very controversial. Is it safe? And it just was.
Was it highly publicized?
Oh, yeah. It was, and it was even, like, in the National Enquirer. And
is it, what made it be on the, you know what I mean? Like, on the
I just think because. Honestly, white.
Sure.
And good, pretty and rich.
Yeah.
And, you know, really white.
Yeah.
And rich.
Yeah. It's a great combo.
Yeah.
People like to read and and hear about rich white people.
Mm-hmm.
So what about your brother? How is he fitting into this now?
No, my brother is upset with me. We have an estranged relationship, but he was my best friend for a while. Like, he moved out here, and then I moved out here, and he did improv, but he needs therapy. He's, you know, he drinks a lot.
Yeah.
And he does drugs. Yeah. And...
Is he still out here?
No, he moved back to New Orleans.
Okay.
But
at least he left improv.
He left improv. Yeah,
which is one.
Yes.
That's one good thing we got. You know what I mean? That.
Yeah. No. He just couldn't. Yeah. No. He left improv. And he wanted to be an actor though. Mm. But it's hard.
Yeah.
But he kind of put down. He's mean. He'd be like, "Don't you want to do more than just commercials?" I'm like, "Well, at least I'm doing something."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you still talk?
No, but I found out he was here in L.A., and he doesn't want to see me.
Yeah. Okay. And how's his relationship with your father?
They're very close.
Okay, so that...
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. not judgment, but just makes, you know...
No, they're very close, but my dad, he was obsessed with my brother anyway, so it's like he got what he wanted.
Yeah. And do you have any others?
I have two half-brothers.
With your...
My dad and my stepmother.
Do you mention... Is she the one you mention in the story?
Mm-hmm, my dad's sex life.
Yes. Okay. So this is very... I mean, you paint a really great picture of it, and I'm just, like, seeing it happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing her. And, you know, obviously your relationship with her was very... Like, she was... You were just kind of...
Well, at first she was really nice to me because my dad was really nice to her, and then once she moved in, things my dad kind of turned on her, and she had two daughters, and my dad would, like, he does, like, they would be taking a shower and my dad would spit on them. And it's weird. That's the thing that he does. He spits discreetly, like, through his teeth.
Okay.
Like, you're like, what is that? And, you know.
Oh, so he's doing it to be humorous. I mean, it is weird, but it's not just a, like, hey.
No. He just does this thing where you're like, wait, what is that? And it's like him spitting on you.
Yeah.
No, he thought it was funny.
Okay, yeah.
But not when somebody's taking a shower.
No. Although that's probably better than when you're not taking one, I guess.
And
it all works itself out.
But then, my stepmother lost custody of her two daughters, and then she lived with us forever. And then my dad kicked... My grandmother lived with us, too. And that's
on whose side? Your grandmother?
My dad's side.
Dad's side, right,
because
you're...
And that's why I'm somewhat normal, because my dad took in my brother and my grandmother took in me. And so, even the same house, but, like, I slept in her bed until I was 12. And then he kicked her out.
He kicked his own mother out.
Mm-hmm. And then she moved out here in L.A., and then I would, like, come and visit her all the time. And, they had two other kids. And I want to talk to them because, but they won't accept my Facebook friend request. They changed their last names.
Yeah. And does your dad reach out to you?
He used to. Because he would have me lie to these other women, you know, he would tell them he was out here visiting me when he was actually, you know, with some other woman.
As an alibi.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Or, like, he would ask me for money, but just such a small amount. But I don't know. I felt like he didn't see me. He wasn't proud of me. He saw me as, like, a check or something.
Yeah.
And he used to reach out to me a lot. But then I saw a therapist. I'm like, I don't know if I should return my dad's phone call or not. And then my therapist is like, do not call him back. Don't pick up. And then I haven't talked to him since. And it's been, like, over 5 years.
Are you, like, hopeful? I mean...
Well, I have this fantasy, like, in 10 years, I'll go back to New Orleans, like, with, you know, a kid on my hip.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, oh, this is your grandson.
Right.
And,
I mean, you're going to be a movie star, so you probably could just take a private jet.
Yeah.
I'm still pulling. Listen, I'm a huge fan, so I'm always pulling.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is. Oh, I'm in New Orleans because I'm working. You know.
On a Farrelly brother movie. Farrelly brother. You'll get the name right by then. I know you'll have that sorted out.
And he comes and he tries to, like, visit me on set and nobody will let him in. And I'm like, oh, wait, that's my dad. Yeah. And, you know.
You'll be wearing big sunglasses, though. Big sunglasses.
Yeah.
Now, we were, and I don't know if this is something you want to talk about. I think it's interesting. We were talking about all your vitamins.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason you're taking your vitamins, is that something you want to talk about or no?
Yeah, sure. I'm freezing my eggs.
Okay.
Well, dating is hard, man. I'm 35 and I'm single, but of course it makes sense. At first I'm like, oh, I can't believe I'm 35 and single, but I'm like, of course I'm single. Of course I, like, had to, like, figure out who I am and, like, start this blog and, you know, just I needed to, like, to discover so much. But I really want to be a mother just because that's, like, defined, you know, or not having a mother has defined my entire life. Like, at 33, my gynecologist said, oh, you should freeze your eggs. And I'm like, I'm 33, fuck you. But then I was planning on freezing them at 37 because, you know, Molly Hawkey.
Her sperm cast.
And she froze them at 37. I'm like, yeah, I'll just wait till I'm 37. My gynecologist is like, no, you should do it right now. I'm like, all right. It's super expensive and
it's a process, right?
It's a process and I don't like it. And I've had, like, a really hard time because this is my second round. But this is just for plan B. I'm still hoping to get knocked up naturally.
Yeah.
I still am hoping to meet, you know, my soulmate. Yeah. And
I think it's statistically very possible for you to get knocked up naturally. I'm just cheering for you here. Mm-hmm. Not to say that's what you necessarily want.
From my soulmate.
Oh, from your soulmate. Okay, well, that adds another. Okay,
yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah, no, I think I could get knocked up.
Yeah, naturally. I totally think you can.
But through my soulmate sperm?
Yes.
That's a question.
So, soulmate sperm plus knocked up. Yeah.
I think so too. But I've always just been dating like the wrong type of men.
Yeah.
So.
Improvisers?
Yeah. Well, comedians. They're.
Oh, oof, yeah.
Ooh, no.
Yeah.
And just either like guys that are like either too old or.
What's too old? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, well. Nothing is too old.
Does the number keep changing?
No, right now I have an age limit and it's just 10 years older. So okay. I can't date anybody who's older than 45.
Okay.
But no, you know, I've dated like improv teachers.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But
I'll ask that for the extra paywall bonus outing improv teachers.
Yeah, so not older than 45. Okay. So...
Yeah. Mm. And not younger than 18.
That's the rule. Sorry. Younger than 18.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, keep it legal. You know what I mean?
That's I need to.
Yeah. So that's the, okay. That's a, is that what she, I mean, do you put that in like dating apps or?
No, it's older than 18.
It's old 18. Yeah.
Yeah. No, of course you have to do, well, you're not on, you're.
Formally an online dater.
Okay.
Now I just use it in my standup. I just talk about it.
Yeah, no, I have restrictions, but it's hard. Mm. It's hard. And I hate it. I hate it. I hate it so much.
I think everyone hates it collectively. We're just all bouncing together, like all hating the same thing. We're hoping to find two people that hate it together to this. So they like each other despite it.
And that's another thing is just like, I've spent all this money, like, so I don't have to settle. Yeah. You know, so like I.
Why don't you bump up that age limit if you're freezing those eggs?
Pump it up.
Bump up the age limit.
I can't. Why?
I don't know. Maybe it broadens the. You know.
No, because I need to have youngish sperm.
Oh yeah. So you gotta need the youngest.
I don't want to be with anyone who's too old.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's.
That's what my therapist tells me.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.